She waited while Reyes sat back down, then swept the faces of the men seated around the table with eyes which warned them she was in no mood to tolerate intransigence this day. She felt the tension click up another few degrees as that message went home. She was not only the youngest person in that council chamber, but also the only female person present. And she found herself suppressing a huntress's smile as she contemplated that fact and their reaction to her unyielding gaze. Some of her advisors, she knew, had never really fully resigned themselves to having a queen rather than a king. Unfortunately, she thought at them with an undeniable edge of satisfaction, father and mother had me instead, didn't they? And between us, Marac and I, and Uncle Bertram, made it stand up. It's been a bumpy ride, hasn't it, my lords? Of course, you're about to find out just how truly bumpy things can get. My lords, she said after a moment, into the taut silence, her voice clear and strong, we have summoned you here today to inform you of certain matters which we have been contemplating for some days past now. As always, we will welcome your wisdom and your advice concerning the decision to which we have come. If the chamber had been tense before she spoke, that was nothing compared to the jolt which ran through her listeners as she used the royal we. They heard that particular usage from her very rarely, at least when they sat in council with her. Coupled with her decision to wear the crown of state and the phrasing of her final sentence, it told every one of them that Charlian had, indeed, already come to her decision about whatever it was she intended to discuss with them. It wouldn't be the first time it had happened. Charlian Tate had all of her dead father's incisiveness and possibly even more strength of will. When she'd found herself on the back of the slash lizard following his death, she'd recognized that she simply could not afford to allow her counselors to regard her as a child, even though that had been precisely what she was when the crown landed on her head. There had been relatively few reigning queens in the history of Safehold. Indeed, Charlian was only the second in the entire history of Chisholm, and Queen Isabel had been deposed after barely 4 years on the throne. That had not been an encouraging precedent after King Saley's death, and more than one of his counselors had been prepared to manage his daughter for him. Some of them, Charlian knew, had cherished the hope that she might follow in Isabel's footsteps. Even of those who hadn't been willing to go quite that far, some had entertained notions of seeing her properly married off to someone like themselves, perhaps, or one of their sons, who could provide the necessary masculine guidance she would undoubtedly need. Well, my lords, she thought with a certain grim amusement, watching them as they tried with varying degrees of success to hide their consternation at what she just said, I had all the masculine guidance I needed from Marac, didn't I? It had been Green Mountain who'd warned the grieving child who'd just lost a father and inherited a crown that she must choose between merely reigning and ruling. Even then, and despite her own crushing sense of loss, she'd been old enough to understand what the first counselor was telling her, and she'd had absolutely no intention of permitting Chisholm's governance to fall into the hands of any of the various great lords already licking their chops as they prepared to grapple for control of the kingdom. And the only way to prevent that potentially disastrous factional strife had been to make it abundantly clear that there was already a faction firmly, even ruthlessly, in control. Her. Some of them had found that lesson harder to learn than others, and the most uneducable had been eased off the Queen's Council. One of them, the Duke of Three Hills, had proved sufficiently persistent in his refusal to accept that a mere girl had the ability to rule in her own right that she'd been forced to remove him from the council with a minimum of gentleness and a maximum of firmness. When he'd attempted to reverse her decision by extra-legal methods, her army and navy had argued the point with him. In the end, his had been only the third death warrant Charlian had personally signed, and his power base had disintegrated with his death. Signing that warrant had been the hardest thing she'd ever done, then, but she'd done it. And, in a perverse sort of way, she knew she would always be grateful to Three Hills. He'd shown the one person to whom it really mattered, Charlene herself, that she had the steel in her spine to do what needed to be done. And what had happened to him had been sufficient to inspire the remaining holdouts to reevaluate their positions in the recognition that Queen Charlene was not Queen Isabel.